Next on BYUSN, we're just over a week away from BYU football kicking off the season, and we'll spend the next hour giving you our in-depth preview of the 2025 campaign, including our top 25 predictions for the 2025 season. What will BYU's record be overall? How many Big 12 games do we think they'll win?
We've got position by position breakdowns of all the players you need to know entering week one. And what is your boldest guarantee about the BYU football season? We'll tell you ours as the 2025 BYU football season preview show starts right now.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, August 22nd. This is how we do it. It's a white pants Friday, at least on my side of the desk. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who has very carefully scheduled in every single one of his college football watching experiences. Tomorrow he is Jerem Jordan.
I've got kids games in the mornings, and then I've got DVR'd Iowa State, K-State, Farmageddon. Can't wait for that. Portland State plays Tarleton State at 2:30 Mountain. Stanford, Hawaii as well. Also, there's a certain five-star quarterback that's playing on ESPN tomorrow night that we're interested in as well. So it's going to be fun because we are how many days away from BYU Portland State?
Hit it! Countdown to the Viking.
8 days away.
Eight. Yeah, baby!
One week from tomorrow.
A week from today, we're going, hey, the game's tomorrow. Amazing.
Love so it. We thought, because we are so close to said kickoff, that we would all have a collective season preview show today. Anything and everything you could possibly hope to know, we think, to get you set for kickoff between BYU and Portland State 1 week from tomorrow. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Oh, I'm not worried about what people say about us.
I think it starts up front. We have the number one tailback in the country.
Our run game is going to be good.
We have some big guys up front.
They're going to do their job. I'm going to do my job.
Defensive end group is deep right now.
I'm excited for everybody to find out what happens.
25 predictions for the 2025 season and an in-depth look at all of those position groups still to come in a loaded hour of BYU Sports Nation. So because there are so many, we've broken it into two groups. We're going to do half offense and then defense and special teams. Jerem, there's a lot to get
25,
to.
25, let's go. I can't wait in 2050 for this to be 50 predictions.
Yes, and then there are some just overall predictions, like what BYU's record will be for the season. And we start our predictions right there. Last year, 11-2. What is it going to be this year? If you've been paying attention over the last 2 months, you probably already know our answer, but let's answer it officially again.
I've actually changed mine by one game.
I have really
changed mine by one game. We've talked a lot about 8-4. That feels very comfortable given the ramp up, how tough the second half of the schedule is, true freshman quarterback, and so on and so forth. But I am buying into this BYU team. I'm buying into the fact that Bear Bachmeyer can lead BYU to places they haven't gone, maybe with a true freshman four. Give me 9-3, Spencer.
Wow.
BYU 9-3. The reason they're not 10-2 like last year is true freshman quarterback. Maybe there's a game that you lose that you would have won. I don't think they get 29 takeaways again. I think that was an incredible number. But give me 9-3. It is ambitious. It is probably blue goggled, but I am in on it.
Holy cow. What has happened? Why are we here? And I'm about to give you my season projection, and it's lower than Jerem. It's 8-4. I'm giving more patience and grace to a true freshman quarterback. And because the back half of the schedule gets really, really difficult with Utah, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech, and then we don't know what TCU is going to be. So because I have some trepidation about the back half of the schedule, even if BYU's 5-1 in the first six, which I think they will be, it's great. They'll be nationally ranked. I think they'll go 3-3 in the back six. If they're 6-0, however, Jerem, then I would join you on that 9-3 plane. It has to be 6-0 in the first six for me to feel comfortable about BYU going 9-3 because that back half is super difficult.
And frankly, I knew you were probably going to go 8-4, so I wanted to be different. And I didn't think 7-5 was the ticket. So that's part of this. Let's be honest. Okay, Big 12 record.
5-4. I think they'll have a winning record. I don't see BYU stumbling in non-conference. And if I'm saying 8-4, they're 3-0 in non-con. You do the math. 3 plus 5 is 8.
I can even do that much.
I would love to see 6-3 in conference, but again, I feel like the key there is, can BYU start Big 12 play 3-0 with wins against Colorado, at home against West Virginia, and then can they go on the road and keep Kalani's perfect record against Arizona alive and be perfect through the first half of the season? That's the key to going 6-3 in the Big 12 for me, is start 3-0.
6-3 is the number for me, 3-0, 6-3, 9-3. That's the record. I think either Iowa State or Texas Tech will not be as good as people think.
What will 6-3, if the Cougars have that mark at the end of the regular season, be in the Big 12 standings? I'm inclined to believe that will be one game out of putting them in contention to get to a Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much parity again that 7-2 is probably going to be the mark if you want to be in contention to get to Dallas and play in that conference championship.
If you're 8-1, 9-0, you are in.
All right. Okay, I particularly love this one and probably spent the most time on this yesterday trying to figure out where I believe BYU will be in a bowl game and their opponent. Of course, they had that unique setup with the Alamo Bowl last year and the Pac-12 still having their tie-in, which still exists this year as well.
Yep.
So thought for a second about maybe BYU-Arizona State in an Alamo Bowl could be fun, but didn't settle on that. I'll ask you first, Jerem, where do you have BYU playing in the bowl season and against who?
Liberty Bowl for the first time since 2001 versus Ole Miss.
Wow.
January 2nd. It'll be the second January bowl game for BYU ever.
That's a juicy matchup.
It'll be a fun one, right?
Ole Miss, BYU, and the Liberty Bowl, but that's like a de facto home game for Ole Miss almost if you got to travel all the way to Tennessee. It would be fun to exercise some demons there, right, for BYU to do something positive in that bowl game specifically. So I like that pick.
We're going to go tackle eligible Dustin Record again.
Okay. Jerem, I am settling on the Texas Bowl.
Nice.
BYU Texas A&M in the Texas Bowl. It's Big 12 versus SEC, and typically it's fourth or fifth place Big 12 team against the seventh, eighth, or ninth place team in the SEC. BYU Texas A&M, they also have some previous bowl game ties with the Holiday Bowl. BYU could exercise some demons against the Aggies in a bowl game scenario.
Let's go. Okay, what's the best win of the year going to be?
I think it's going to be at Texas Tech. I like BYU to go to Lubbock, and here's why. It's after a bye. I trust in the coaching staff, and specifically Jay Hill, to get that defense ultra-prepared for what we think is going to be a very talented, fast, dynamic Texas Tech offense. 2 weeks to prepare for the Red Raiders, and Andy Reid's going to be in the house, reportedly. I don't think BYU's
with
losing
Pat
in
Mahomes,
front of
question mark?
Coach Reid. And yeah, let's win one for the Gipper for Coach Reid if he makes the trip down to Lubbock.
Give me Utah October 18th. The streak continues. Utah hasn't beaten BYU since 2019. We keep it going, baby. Utah, October 18th in Provo. It's going to be crazy.
See, I thought about that, but then I didn't want to give Utah credit for being the best win.
Well, if Utah's very improved, and it's another rivalry win?
It will be,
that's the best win.
Logically, and to much of the nation.
I mean, we said SMU was best win last year because Utah stunk. If Utah was good, that would have been the best win for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah. I understand everything that goes into that. I just couldn't settle on giving the credence to Utah being the best team that BYU beats on the schedule, even though it might actually be the case.
Yeah, what if Utah's 9-3, man?
A little rivalry factor in there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to BYU's true freshman quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, and his passing stats, specifically yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and completion percentage.
63%, 2,850 passing yards, 25 touchdowns.
Whoa!
11 picks. This is what I have for brother Bear Bachmeyer.
So you expect BYU to be very aggressive in the passing game because last year, Jake Retzlaff had how many touchdown passes? 12 interceptions?
Yeah.
Wow, so you think plus five there. Okay, yeah. I'm not very far off where you were with passing yards. I'm 2,800 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I think he's going to be a little more conservative than Jake Retzlaff was last year. 60% completion percentage, which frankly is more than 2% of an uptick from last year's numbers from Retzlaff.
Yeah.
Give me 60-plus and 2,800 yards in those numbers, BYU's going to be in good position to win a lot of games.
LJ Martin's rushing numbers. We go yards, touchdowns.
Well, after everything that has been said on the show recently, there's no way I'm not taking him over 1,000. 1,038 yards. He becomes BYU's first 1,000-yard rusher since Tyler Allgeier did it in 2021. 9 touchdowns. Surprisingly, Allgeier didn't find the end zone as much as I thought he would last year. I think he is there just about every regular season game on average of at least one. So 1,038 yards, 9 touchdowns. Where do you stand?
Of note, we don't consult with each other on what the numbers are before. I literally don't know what Spencer's going to go with, except that I know Spencer a little bit and I can probably guess. But 1,068, so I'm just plus 30.
Okay.
11 touchdowns for LJ. Give him the rock more this year, and I think they will with the true freshman quarterback.
The fantasy football situation came into mind where I'm like, okay, if they're at the goal line, are they always? No, Bear Bockmeyer is going to score some close to the goal line. He's going to steal some of those touchdowns from LJ Martin.
Think how much more effective RPO could be with Bear than maybe it was with Jake. Jake was a good runner. I think that Bear's going to be a better runner than Jake was.
Okay, let's go. That leads us to our next topic.
Yes, it does.
Second leading rusher.
Speaking of, so is it Bear or is it Sione Moa? That would be the argument here.
Okay.
I go with Bear Bockmeyer. I think that Bear Bockmeyer is going to outrush Jake Retzlaff from last year, including sack yards, net. So you have the gain, you have the loss, you have the net. Give me 418 net, 1 yard more than Jake had last year.
Woo! He very well might. Bear might outrush Jake and be the second leading rusher. I'm leaning on my guy Sione. 424 yards, but the number is very close.
Nice. Okay?
So I think Bear could be around 400, and Sione might just edge him out to be the second leading rusher. I hope it is a three-headed monster with LJ Martin, Sione Moa, and Bear Bockmeyer, and that collectively, Jerem, they're pushing 2,000 rushing yards.
Yeah, and who knows what, you know, Enoch Nawahine and Javessa DeMooney contribute to that space. There's jet sweeps in the mix, so let's go. Okay, next up, Chase Roberts receiving numbers. He's so obviously the number one. We just say, what's he going
to
do?
You need to find number two on the field.
Number two is number one.
He was still pretty good last year, even though BYU's passing numbers were rather modest. I don't see any way that BYU doesn't make it a point to get him the ball more, especially when you need multiple security blankets for Bear Bockmeyer. He's the number one receiving security blanket, in my opinion. 60 catches, 921 yards, 6 touchdowns. Doesn't get to the 1,000-yard mark, but he does take a big step forward in catches and receiving yards, and a little uptick in touchdowns, Jerem.
We're very similar. I go 65, 917, 6.
Okay.
Very close. Very close. He's going to have a monster year. I think he could totally go for 1,000. Hopefully, you know, all these guys are healthy, of course, with him.
Second leading receiver. Last year, keep in mind, it was Darius Lassiter with 703. Chase was over 800. So who's the second leading receiver?
Carson Ryan, 35 catches. As Moses Malone once said, and 5 touchdowns. Carson Ryan.
The tight end.
UCLA and Utah tight end. BYU throws to the tight end again.
Jerem, 444 yards would be almost double what the entire tight end room did collectively last year.
Yeah. And Carson's looking for an opportunity. It's his time. Go check out his day in the life. It was really funny.
Yeah, really, really well put together. That social media bit. Second leading receiver is JoJo Phillips.
Nice.
I think he goes just a hair over 500 yards, 502.
Love it.
JoJo Phillips with his big playmaking ability. I think we're going to see some long passes and long touchdowns specifically to JoJo. He's faster. His hands have improved. Really, really like what he can bring.
Non-quarterback touchdown pass, question mark?
Yes. It's Aaron Roderick. He's the master of chess, of setting up the trick play. Almost mundane. Run the same play, the same form, and then you get the defense to cheat up, and then you throw the trick play at him. That's going to happen. It's probably going to be Parker Kingston.
Agreed.
Would it be anybody else? Why would it be anybody else?
He has 3 touchdown passes in his career.
Okay. Longest play from scrimmage. Last year was only 62 yards.
Give me a 70-yard touchdown to Chase Roberts.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a touchdown per se, but give me a 70-yarder to Chase.
70?
Yeah.
I said 72 yards.
Oh, dear.
I don't know who it's going to be. It might be
$1.
JoJo Phillips. It might be JoJo.
It might be.
Okay.
Hey, what if it's 71? That would be really funny. Okay, third down conversion percentage.
Last year was really bad. 37%. We talked about this yesterday.
Yep.
I think BYU will be better, but there is still that third and fourth down mindset that Aaron Rodgers has. So I don't think it's going to be dramatically better. 44%, up 7%.
I go 43. Okay. So anything under, I get, I guess.
Total touchdowns. There were 48 that BYU scored in all capacities last year.
Yeah, give me 45. The reason it's just down to touch is because BYU had 7 non-offensive touchdowns last year. 5 returns, kick and punt. 2 defensive. Give me 45. Just down a touch, but still a good number.
We're dead on here.
45. Oh, boo!
45
Can
touchdowns.
Can I change mine just so we're different? I'll go 46.
You don't have to. What if we both guess 45 and it's 45?
I don't want to. The chance of that's so low. Give me 46. My official number is 46. Okay. I'm changing.
We're halfway through our 25 predictions for the 2025 season on BYU Sports.
Not bad. We did a bunch and we only had the same thing once. The season premiere of Coordinator's Corner is coming up Monday. Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick, Kelly Papinga recap training camp. They preview Portland State. Tune in Monday at 2 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, the back half of our season predictions. Will BYU match their interception total from last year and lead the country again? What's our boldest guarantee for the season? This is BYU USA.
We still have so much to prove.
Having the best coordinator in the country.
Is that core being known as one of the best linebacking cores ever at BYU?
I love defensive tackle. Keanu Tarawasa is shaping up to be a real star.
For secondary, which is very deep.
I feel pretty good about it, too.
It's the 2025 season preview special on BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with a little more today than just your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. We are halfway through our predictions and hop right back in with an emphasis on defense and special teams. Beginning with who's going to be BYU's leading tackler. Last year it was Isaiah Glasker with 70.
Same guy, more tackles. Isaiah Glasker, 80 tackles. I think he has a bigger imprint on this defense this year. He is a future NFL guy. Can't wait to watch his senior year. BYU's lucky they got him back.
We don't differ in the player. I just think he has 74, and I think it's because Siale Asara is going to be right there with him. I think Siale is going to take some of those tackles away from Isaiah Glasker.
Frankly, that's a low number for the leading tackler. Max Tuli had 92. You know, it could be a safety that comes up. You don't want your safety as a leading tackler, though, just saying. You want it to be a backer.
Didn't Wani Unga have like 114 tackles?
I think it was 1,000. It was amazing.
Back in 2014 or whatever.
Who's going to lead in sacks?
It's hard for me to go away, especially knowing what we know about the edges being watched by Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker, to go away from one of those guys. I'm going to go with last year's sack leader, Jack Kelly. He had 5. It's not that much of it. It's just up 1. He's going to be the sack leader with 6 this season.
Jack Kelly, 8. I know he wants to get 10. He told people at Football Media Day that in Arlington. So give me 8.
TFLs, I think, will be up across the board from all of the BYU defense. Hopefully they can just rush quarterbacks into dumb decisions.
Yeah, and they did that a lot last year. I would say they hurried quarterbacks a lot to throw picks.
Who's your interceptions leader from a group that collectively was number 1 in the nation last year?
Yeah, Ainsworth, right, with 22. Give me Raider DeMooney with 4. Outstanding receiver at Tempe. He's going to be a ball hawk with more playing time this year. At strong safety, Raider DeMooney with 4.
I'm going with my captain of the safeties, Tanner Wall. He had 3 last year, tied with Glasker and Robinson. I think he goes up 1. 4 for Tanner Wall to lead BYU individually in interceptions.
That pick against Arizona was one of the best plays.
It changed the game.
It was incredible.
It changed the game.
You meet and talk to Tanner, and he's like the nicest, kind of calmest guy. When he's out there on the field, though, incredibly cerebral. He keeps that calm. He makes plays, which is awesome. Total sacks.
Oh, man. This is a number where I feel like BYU can and should be better.
Yes.
But I don't know if it will be. I just think that their defense is set up to just cause a lot of chaos. I don't know if like the sack number is just going to all of a sudden be higher. So again, I'm going with 20. 20 sacks.
Same number. They had 11 the year before, by the way. That was crazy. That was stupid low. Give me 27. I think Keanu Tanuvasa creates a lot of havoc that leads to more.
Yeah, what scheme and what wrinkles does Jay Hill have drawn up to try and help that number? And
I can't. 4-3. You go 3-3-5 at times. You go other. 4-2-5 with the nickel. He blitzes from any position. I mean, Jay Hill. He has complete diversity of blitzes in his playbook. It's very fun to watch.
Hopefully that pays off for more sacks.
Yeah,
I mean, I hope they're closer to your number.
And sacks are somewhat overrated because what you want is havoc in various forms.
And that's what Jay has said.
Yes. Kelly Papenga said as much to me, too. Like, we're not as big on the sack number as the average person is.
Sure. Okay. Total interceptions. This is a loaded question because BYU was number one in the country last year with 22.
Give me 19. I think they're going to have a lot. It's not going to be the same number, but they're going to have more sacks, so you're not going to have as many kind of pass attempts like this. But I do think BYU has a lot. 22 is enough to be number one in the country.
They'll have another good number. I'm not as high as you. 17 interceptions, which again, I still think is a really nice number for this BYU defense. Hopefully they can get close to what they did last year, but naturally, I think there will be a regression to the mean this year, and 17 is the number.
Yeah, losing Jacob Robinson, Mark Collins, Crew Wakely, those were all guys that were picking off passes and playing good defense. BYU likes the people behind him, though. Okay, total takeaways, because last year was 29th, third in the country.
Yes.
29 total.
22 of those 29 takeaways were the interceptions. I think the BYU will find a way to punch the ball a little bit more. They'll be more physical. So I've got 26 total takeaways, the 17 interceptions plus the 9 others. How about you?
I got 24 total takeaways. So still a good number, 5 fumble recoveries, 19 picks.
Okay. On to defensive touchdowns. When I was thinking about last year, initially I thought it felt like there was 5.
It did feel like there were 5. There were 2. It was Isaiah Glasker.
Yes.
And it was Tommy Preston.
They didn't house it a ton per se, but they got close.
Almost yes. It was it Oklahoma State, I think.
Half yard line.
Yeah.
So they that would have been close 3. A few times.
That's how good that defense was. It felt like they scored a bunch. And frankly, when you have 5 returns, Spencer, and the punt safe punt return from Parker Kingston, that was the defense on the field with Parker. That felt like a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, and the onside kick attempt that turned into a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Talon Alfrey scores.
A defensive guy scoring.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, man, it felt like they had way more than 2.
So 3 defenders scored of those 7.
But only 2 defensive touchdowns. Yeah. I still think they're going to go plus 1 here. 3 defensive touchdowns.
Oh, you go 3. Okay, I go 1. They have 1. But they're gonna create havoc and set up the offense quite a bit for short fields.
It'll probably be close to what last year was with the 2, but why not? Be ambitious.
What if they're like, we get 5? We didn't anticipate 5 returns for touchdowns last year.
That was incredible.
How about the best player on the team at his position? Will Farron made field goals and long.
He's going to make 12 field goals this season.
That's it? They're just going to punch it in the red zone
all the time? They're going to be so good.
Only 12?
12. 12 for Will Farron. You think there'll be more? See, I'm like, 1 a game.
12 is so few.
1 a game.
Oh, trust me, I like touchdowns more than field goals. Don't get me wrong. We all do.
Just feel like they're going to be more efficient.
Okay. Long of?
57.
Oh, I say that too. He sets the record.
New BYU
he
record.
He gets the record.
Owen Potchman's record from 56 yards.
They get to the 40. It's a 3rd down. I hope they throw an incompletion. Will Farron comes out. He gets the record finally. He deserves that. I go 21 of 24. Kind of a similar number to what he had last year. He made 24, 27. Trust me, I would love fewer field goals. I hope it's 0.
The coaches talked about
touchdowns,
that.
But you will have field goals.
They said it is incredible to have someone as consistent as Will back there. We love that. We would like to use him less.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. No one's rooting for Will Farron to run out there. You know what I mean? Like, there are
unless
moments,
it's the final play of the game to beat Utah.
But you would have loved to just score a touchdown. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Will is money. So when he comes out there, we all feel confident.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Kick or punt return touchdown happens? Yes or no?
Okay. Last year there were 5. 3 kick, 2 punt. I'm saying there's none. I'm saying there's none.
0.
I would love 5 again. I'm just going back to the none thing. I hope it wasn't an anomaly, but I'm just predicting 0.
I feel like BYU special teams are so good under Kelly Papenga. They'll have something drawn up. There will be 1. There
at least 1. You know what? That sounds great. You're probably going to win this. Okay, will there be a safety?
No. No safety.
I say no
defense.
As well. No safety.
Those are tough to come by, especially with some kickoff rules. Like, you have to have an offense pinned super deep.
Yeah, it's hard to get a safety.
And it's harder to do that in this day and age with certain rules in play and whatnot. Okay. Successful onside kick for BYU.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. They had a successful one against Colorado. They didn't defend. They initiated, and it was great. I think there is one.
There's going to be a sneak attack somewhere.
Why do I think there's going to be an onside kick, but not a punter kick return touchdown? That's kind of weird. Because this feels more aggressive. Yeah. Okay.
There's going to be a sneak attack somewhere from Kelly Papinga.
Exactly. Okay. What's your boldest guarantee this year?
Okay. And maybe this isn't bold enough, because I waffled. I was like, how do I make this more bold? But ultimately, I came back to, no, that it's bold enough. BYU will be ranked in the AP Top 25 for at least half of the season.
Oh.
At least half of the season.
That's a good one.
They'll be in the top 25.
I like that a lot.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay, my boldest guarantee is BYU will finish top five in the Big 12. I think 6-3 them in a top five spot in the Big 12, which is notable with a true freshman quarterback.
Frankly, if BYU finishes top five in the Big 12 standings, thinking about bowl ties and kind of how those chips fall, generally speaking, BYU could go back to the Alamo Bowl if they finish in the top five.
That's why I put
and
Liberty.
If two Big 12 teams, especially if two Big 12 teams somehow get to the college football playoff.
Then they slide up even more.
Then BYU's in the Alamo Bowl or maybe the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That'd be nice because they're a draw. Every bowl committee knows BYU's fans travel.
Yeah.
And they buy tickets. They spend money.
Sometimes they just live there.
And sometimes they just live close to the area.
Colonization. Thank Brigham Young for that.
Yes. And by travel, I mean they travel from 8 hours of wherever the game is.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, our question of the day. We just gave you our boldest guarantees about the BYU football season. I say BYU will be ranked in the AP Top 25 for at least half the season. Jerem says top five finish for BYU in the Big 12. At Travis Larson, 32 on X, says, though it's super rare with a true freshman quarterback, as you guys have outlined, BYU gets to 10 wins this season, in parentheses, with a bowl win.
There you go.
This team is so talented.
I'm on the fringe of that with 9-3.
You go 9-3, you win a bowl game, you're 10-3. They continue, this team is so talented, and Bear has that moxie that BYU will find success and once again shock the world. Go Cougs. At CPA Cougar on X, I guarantee BYU will be undefeated going into the second bye week.
Oh, the second bye week.
7-0.
That means they go they go through Utah.
And Iowa State.
And Iowa State. Wow. That's the boldest one so far. That's almost Brian Logan level of crazy.
It's a guarantee.
Guarantee! He didn't say it. He declared it.
He did.
Come on.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Tune in Tuesday for another episode of After Further Review. Dave, Blaine, David. Preview the Portland State game, breakdown expectations for Chase Roberts and LJ Martin for the season Tuesday, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV.
After the break, we turn the page to our position previews and begin with the offense. How does Aaron Roderick feel about the depth specifically at all of the key positions? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Man, I'm so excited for the group.
I think we got dogs. You know, I think it starts up front. There's a lot of experienced guys on offense, you know, so we're bringing back a lot of guys from last year.
I think the run game is looking really good.
We know what we've been doing, so we're confident going into August 30th.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem. We continue our 2025 BYU football season preview special, and now focus in on the position previews, beginning on offense, of course, with the quarterback position. And just maybe you've heard us talk a little bit about the quarterback scenario
every
here.
Day.
It has felt that way for good reason. So here are Aaron Roderick, Kalani Sitake, Vesey Sitake, and Bear Bachmeyer on how exactly a true freshman, Bear Bachmeyer, won the starting job and their confidence in the quarterback room as a whole.
Anyway, he throws a lot of completions. He's done a great job in camp taking care of the football. He's thrown the fewest interceptions of all the guys, and throws a really high completion percentage, and a lot of explosive plays, threw a bunch of touchdown passes, and just has done a good job leading our team. And he's very mature, man. Our players gravitate to him. He's a good leader, and I mean, all these guys are good leaders, but rare to see a freshman who can lead the team the way he does every day.
Bear is someone that I think is just the sky's the limit. I mean, the guy, he's wearing 47. He looks like a linebacker out there, right? But he's so physical. He's got it's easy to sleep on his ability to throw the ball and his athleticism.
Yeah, I think one of the things Coach Mitchell and Coach A-Rod advocate for is, you know, playing free and you know, playing to your strength in your game. You know, and that's you know, off-platform throws and, you know, making plays.
You know, A-Rod and I and the entire team been really impressed with how easy it was for him to grasp the offense. I mean, he's still young. Well, he's a freshman, but a true freshman. But to have someone that has that focus on football and that demand on the offense is impressive.
Our style of play won't be conservative. We'll grow. You know, he knows the whole playbook already. I mean, he can run anything Jaren Hall or Zach Wilson or Jake Retzloff did since I've been here. He's capable of doing any of that. We will start out the season. You know, we're not going to throw everything out there the first game. You never do that anyway, just for your opponents. You have to save things as the year goes on. But yeah, we're not going out there to be conservative at all. We want to attack and throw the ball down the field and have a physical run game.
It elevated the whole room. The competition did. And I couldn't be happier with what we have. We're better and deeper in the quarterback room than we were, you know, 2 months ago. And I feel really comfortable going into the game with a lot of different guys.
Looking at the quarterback's room, Bear Bachmeier, the guy at 6'2", 220 pounds, exactly 0 games of Division I experience. But that all changes 8 days from now. Behind him, McKay Hillstead, your number two.
That was never said out loud, but we assume he's number two.
Yeah, we assumed because according to the coaches, they told us it was either Bear or McKay.
That's a safe assumption. Number three, I'm telling you, I think Emerson Guilman might be the number three quarterback right now.
Over Trayson Borghese.
He did a good job in fall camp. They were giving him reps with the threes at times. So I'd be interested to see who the number three quarterback is. Certainly Trayson Borghese has good experience there, having started in college 8 times at Western Michigan. So it's a nice room. Emerson Guilman got his mission call. He's leaving in January. So that's a good room. Cole Hagan is the fifth quarterback there as well. That's
Sione Moa is quarterback
brother.
Six.
Parker Kingston's like, your boy's thrown 3 touchdowns. I don't know what you're talking about. Speaking of running backs, Aaron Roderick and Sione Moa now talk about the confidence in the running back room. And Kalani Sitake speaks about the growth of LJ Martin this offseason.
Our run game is going to be good. Okay, I'm telling you, we're going to be able to run the football. I like our offensive line a lot. Our tight ends are tough and physical, and LJ Martin and Sione Moa are really good players, and both are very good football players. We have some other backs too that I think we're gonna be able to count on.
I think we'll be solid, honestly. Like, after LJ is me, after me it's Enoch, after Enoch it's Jovessa, and so on and so forth. And so I think there's not really any worry in our room, at least. We know what we've been doing throughout the offseason, and so we're confident going into August 30th and so on and so forth.
You know, last year he was just fighting to get back and get healthy. Now I think you guys can see it. He's a different guy, and he's kind of matured into his adult body. And it also helps that he knows the playbook. And he's not struggling trying to memorize stuff. And so, in fact, he has ideas and thoughts on how we can block things. And that's when you know you got a guy that's kind of a veteran, and we can count on him. And he's becoming a leader, too.
LJ Martin, clear RB1, Sione Moa, 2, and then Enoch Nawahine played a role last year. Jovessa DeMooney, a new guy. That's Jack DeMooney's nephew, Raider DeMooney's first cousin. They're still waiting on a waiver for Hinkley Ropati. He would definitely add to this group. He would be kind of your number two or three if he was in this mix. This is a nice group for BYU. A lot of talent there, a lot of speed. LJ Martin needs to take the next step and become that 1,000-yard guy.
I love that LJ said he feels faster than he's ever been in his life. And LJ's not a guy that, I mean, he doesn't say a lot in general, and so when I pressed him on those things about his physical attributes and what he's able to do, when he answers, he's very matter-of-fact. I believe him when he says, yes, I'm faster and I feel better than ever.
That's awesome. That's great news.
On to the wide receivers. We feel collectively very good about this group. A lot of depth here for Fessy Sitake in the pass game. So here is Coach Sitake, the pass game coordinator, on who has stood out to him the most in that wide receivers room, which guys he has the most confidence in, and who's still battling to get on the field for snaps.
It's anywhere from 4 to 6. And how many, you know, of those guys play is kind of to be determined. I will say that Chase, Parker, and JoJo are guys, when I talk about skill set and their experience here, they've proven that. You know, those guys are, you know, who are, I'm for sure rolling with. But when you factor in Tiger Bachmeier, his experience, you know, that he's had at Stanford, Cody Hagan, who's got so much skill. He just battled some injuries, him, and then, you know, a guy like Reggie Frischknecht that came in as a transfer, Tay Nakua. I mean, those are guys who are all right there on the fringe of potentially breaking into that. And so those first three, I know what they can do. It's critical this camp for me in these next, you know, 3 weeks, who can break in to be those 4, 5, and 6.
And we will find out shortly who those guys are. But look at the names on the page. They've all had so many meaningful plays, the first three specifically, Jeremy.
Yes.
In Chase Roberts, JoJo Phillips, and Parker Kingston.
And then Tiger Bachmeier's freshman year at Stanford in particular was really, really nice. Cody Hagans, an unproven guy at this level, got a little bit of run, mostly on special teams. He's a speedster. They're going to use him in jet sweeps, we think, kick returns. They're going to use that speed to be effective. Reggie Frischknecht is a 6'4" speedster who's kind of coming off a little bit of an injury, trying to get into it. Tay Nakua is in Nakua. He catches the ball. And then I know people have asked about LaMason Waller a little bit. He did post that he's having surgery yesterday on IG, so waiting for specific details there, so perhaps maybe later. My hope was that they redshirted LaMason. Don't want an injury, but certainly want to save him, given the talent you've got in this room.
So as Fessy said, 4-6. It'll depend on how comfortable he feels with the guys in that room to who gets the majority of the reps. But
I like the group.
It kind of feels like the first five that we mentioned are the guys we're going to see on the field the most. Chase,
yes.
Roberts, JoJo Phillips, Parker Kingston, Tiger Bachmeier, and Cody Hagan.
Yes.
Maybe with a sprinkle of Tay Nakua and Reggie Frischknecht.
Frankly, I would love for Tay and Reggie LaMason
redshirt?
All to be redshirt.
Yeah.
Tay redshirted already, so that he's playing straight up.
Build for the future. But, yeah, Tay's probably the sixth guy right now.
Yeah.
Based on camp. And who knows how much he'll see the field.
He produces a lot of highlights in fall camp. That guy goes up and gets it.
I love Cody, man. I think Cody, you talked about Cody yesterday. I think he could be special. I made the comparison with Fessy to Gunnar Rami and asked if that was too much of a reach. He said, no, I like it. But he said Cody, he's not as technically sound as Gunnar, but he's faster, and he kind of has some abnormal, you know, catch radius motions and patterns. But he's like, it works for him. It's effective.
Okay, tight ends. No secret, tight end position's been a little underwhelming the last couple of years at BYU. But Aaron Roderick is confident in Carson Ryan being an every down tight end this year.
Carson is definitely our starting tight end right now. And what I like about him is he's an every down player. You know, we've been kind of tight end by committee for a few years now. And that's not necessarily what we wanted to be. It's just, you know, we didn't have necessarily that guy who could be the every down guy that can block, run routes, make plays in the passing game. But Carson gives us the ability to, he can play every down, run or pass, and do a lot of things for us. And so we're excited about him. And then behind him, we have some other guys coming along, and it's a battle.
I like to see, you know, Keaton Need, big blocker, big dude. Like, I think he's going to be a good physical blocker, good physical player for us. You know, even get the ball out in space too to him. And, you know, I think Noah Moyaki is going to get a lot of playing time. And I think we could see a lot more tight end packages this year, hopefully. A lot of 12 personnel on the field. And we've been seeing that a lot in fall camp so far. So, a lot of good players. And as soon as we get Ethan Erickson healthy too, we'll get him back on the field. So, a lot of tight ends, I think, can, you know, be productive this year. So, I'm excited for that.
So, there you go. Carson Ryan, clear tight end number one. Keaton Need from New Mexico State, that's the nephew of Spencer Need. Noah Moyaki out of American Fork. Ethan Erickson trying to get healthy as well. A lot of newcomers in this space. Carson Ryan's going to be asked to do the most.
I hope, as you projected, he is battling to be the second leading receiver for
BYU. That's the throw to the tight end. Let's go.
Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, not surprisingly, likes the guys he has up front on that offensive line and how much depth the O-line has heading into the new season. Listen to this.
Good. There's good battles there. But I don't know who the starting five is going to be yet exactly, because I think we have 7 or 8 good players there, and we've got some. We can come up with some different combinations, which is going to help us in the season, because it's rare to play the whole season with the same 5 guys, just due to, you know, it's a physical position.
Would you say your O-line depth has gotten better year by year that you've been here?
Yeah, I would say it's as good as it's been. I hesitate to say it's been better, because we've had some pretty good O-lines certain years, but it's good.
Jeremy, it feels like there are six guys for the five starting spots, clearly. And we will move from left to right on the line. Isaiah Jata, the left tackle. Waylon Lapuaho, the left guard. Bruce Mitchell is your starting center. Then it's that battle for the right guard position between Austin Leusa and Sonny Moccasini. Andrew Gentry, the big transfer from Michigan, is going to protect the right side.
Let me throw one more name in there. Kyle Safarchuk had a very good fall camp, training camp. I'm told he is in the mix as well. So it's good to have that kind of depth at those positions, especially on the interior. Those two tackles have solidified that spot. Bruce Mitchell has solidified that spot. Waylon Lapuaho missed a little bit of fall camp here and there, but he is one of the leaders in that group. I like the O-line. I'm confident they can run the ball.
You ask your running backs, Sione Moe and LJ Martin, they'll say the offensive line is better this year than they were last year. And that is high praise.
That's saying a lot. Season premiere of BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns this Tuesday, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app as the head coach. And Chase Roberts will join Greg Rebell in Studio C to preview Portland State and the start of the new season. It's also Greg's birthday and anniversary on Tuesday.
Whoa, it's a big day.
Yes, it is.
We'll continue with our position previews in this 2025 season preview special as we move to the defensive side of the ball. Can Jay Hill's defense really be better than last year? Stay with us.
Just the overall knowledge of the scheme continues to get better. We really cement and solidify just our beef and physicality in there.
The whole linebacker room has really bought into this culture in the program and understood the playbook.
There's never a fall off, and so that's what we want to create, and I feel that we're on track for that.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B with our 2025 season preview special, 8 days away from game number one. We continue our positions preview on the defensive side of the ball with the defensive tackles, which has been dominated, at least the headlines anyway, by Keanu Tanuvasa, the transfer from Utah. Jay Hill and Sione Pouha joined Keanu to talk about the confidence they have for those BYU guys in the trenches of the defense.
I think JT's had a great camp so far. He looks really good.
And that's John Taumalpeau.
Yes, John Taumalpeau, and then Anisi Purcell has done some great things. I really like the way he can rush the passer. And then the defensive end group is deep right now. So I like the front. I like where we're getting with them. There's some young, inexperienced guys, but those guys are super talented. And then we get Kirkland back in the mix, and we really cement and solidify just our beef and physicality in there.
You want to have three sets of starters, right? And there cannot be any kind of fall off that you have in there. And so, you know, having those three sets of guys that can make things happen really, really gives Jay the ability to call what he needs to call.
How close to the three sets of starters are you right now?
Yeah, I think we're two for sure. Right, we're two for sure. We got to find that third group. We got a lot of young guys coming in, but you know, at the same time, just having that whole group play as a group, whether it be one or two, but that's how confident I feel and where I would say we're at.
The defensive tackle group, Jerem. Again, Keanu Tanuvasa is the clear big headline talent there. But what about when Justin Kirkland gets back and then the emergence of John Taumalpeau, according to Jay Hill, who said he's had a fantastic camp, Anisi Purcell. So it feels like there are four clear guys that can play with the no dropout that Sione Pouha talked about.
Absolutely. Tanuvasa at tackle, Kirkland at nose. Those would be your two starters if Kirkland was healthy. TBD on when he's going to return for BYU. But JT has been in there, Purcell from SU. Yes, you have three guys that have some experience that you like right there and then some young talent behind them.
All right.
Okay, defensive end. BYU has to replace Tyler Batty, of course, prolific career. Jay Hill, Kelly Papinga are bullish on the young talent they have on the edges.
Yeah, our defensive line is, I think we still have that same physicality that BYU has always been known for, but we've brought on some really great players that can play not only in the run, but in the pass, both as a pass rusher and then on the edges as pass rushers, as droppers, and we have a lot of versatile players now, and we're excited for Cougar Nation to see this upcoming fall.
Logan Lutui on the mic right there. He's part of this group with Bodie Schoonover, Viliami Pouha, that's Sione's kid, Orion Maile Kafusi, other names in the mix, Tausili Akana from Texas, Ephraim Asiata, Hunter Clegg off a mission. This is a group that has something to prove. And they haven't kind of been there before, except for Lutui. It's their time to shine now with a lot of opportunity.
I'm excited about that group because we don't know much about that group until we have seen them get on the field and play.
Yeah.
We know a ton about the linebackers.
Yes, we do.
Goodness, maybe the most talented position group on BYU's entire roster. Kalani Sitake knows what he has with Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, and Jay Hill has certainly liked what he's seen from the others competing for snaps this fall.
I think they're ready to do what they did last year and maybe build on it, and it helps understanding the scheme a lot more. They're way more in tune with what Jay wants from them, what I expect from them, what their position coaches, Justin Enna and Chad and those guys expect from them. And I think it's just a matter of just time. We get there and let's get to the games, and then they make the statements themselves.
Che's one of those guys. Hiali's one of those guys. Ace Kafusi. I've seen some really good progression in like Max Alford. He's done some good things. And then the future's bright. Now, there's some young guys like Pearson Watson is going to be a really good player. Right now, I love what Coach Enna and Coach Kaha have done with that linebacking crew. And I really believe there's probably 8 guys that come game time we could probably win with.
Look at the names from the linebacker room. Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Ciale Acera, Che Bryant-Strother. And it feels like they have plenty of other available options behind them that are just waiting in the wings to play bigger roles, Jerem.
Yeah, Kelly or Will or Rover, Glasker or Sam in the middle of battle there between Acera and Bryant-Strother. Ace Kafusi had a really nice camp. Ephraim Asiata can kind of be an edge, be a Sam, that kind of thing. And then you heard Jay Hill mention Max Alford from Utah State has had an impact. We saw Miles Hall at the end of the year quite a bit. And then there's some young guys that we're excited about in the future. But the two of the best playmakers on this entire defense are Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. They anchor this thing.
And we expect nothing different in 2025.
It's gonna be awesome.
You want to know what they're going to do? Just watch last year.
Keanu Tanuvasa starts it up front. Those two in the middle anchor it. And then you get to the safeties. Arguably the deepest position on the team is safety. Jay Hill excited about the quality of depth and experience at that spot.
There's 5 guys that have proven we can win with them right now. I like the progress of Jaron Kalama to add into that those 5 guys. So with those 6, I think we're in a really good spot. Those guys, it seems like every day one of them's really standing out or making a bunch of plays, and the next day will be someone else. So I like where that group's at. If it was today, I think you'd see Prassis playing a lot of nickel. Tanner Wall playing the safety spot with Raider and Folatau, those 3 guys rotating the most. And then, again, Talon Alfrey's had a great camp, so I don't have any problem throwing any of those guys in right now.
All 5 of those guys have significant, meaningful experience.
Absolutely. Starters today would probably be Tanner Wall, free safety, Raider Dumuni at strong, Satuala Prassis at free, Alfrey at strong as well. And as you mentioned, Tommy Prassis is getting a lot of look at nickel because Jonathan Gabea banged up as well. He also posted on his IG, apparently getting surgery. So we hope they're back as soon as humanly possible. No word on the specifics there. But Prassis is a playmaker. Mm. He played a bunch as a freshman. You saw a scoop and score against K-State. I like that group. Perhaps the most experienced group where you have 5 trusted individuals for 2 spots.
Tommy plays fearless mentally, physically. He's not afraid to now be a little more physical.
Okay? And he's fast.
I really like that.
Yep.
The cornerback position was one of the positions we were most concerned about last year, losing Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins. But Gennaro Guilford says he feels pretty good about it. It's a 3-man battle for the top 2 spots at corner. Here is Gennaro Guilford.
And then the corner group, Evan Johnson's really emerged as of late. Maury Bamba's had his moments where he just looks like an elite Big 12 corner, and same with Trey Alexander. So those 3 guys have kind of separated themselves from the pack. And then Jonathan Cabello, we need him to step up in that nickel spot.
That's pretty accurate. They're rotating now. It's kind of a 3-for-2 deal. And then we have another guy, as far as Jaden Dunlap goes, that's creeping in there. Then a guy like Marcus McKenzie, who's continuously getting better just every single day. So right now, those 5 guys can all play who I absolutely trust to put in the game and make plays.
Coach Guilford and Coach Hill on the mic there. 3 guys for 2 spots. Evan Johnson, Maury Bamba, and Trey Alexander are your top 3 right there.
Extremely talented, fast ball-hawking corners. Let's go. Specialists. Will Farron returns. Place kicker and kickoff, Sam Vanderhaar, punter and holder, Garrison Grimes. That's Jeff's kid, comes from Baylor, was a three-year starter there. He's the new long snapper. Parker Kingston back on punt return. Kick return, we learned from K-Pop the other day, Cody Hagan and Dom McKenzie will probably be your kick returners.
They got that straight line speed. Let's go!
BYU Sports Nation Game Day returns Saturday, August 30th. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, Austin Colley, David Nixon, and Spence get you ready for kickoff between BYU and Portland State Saturday, August 30th, 6 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. That's the first time we've promoted that. It's getting me way excited.
Woo! What's your boldest guarantee for the 2025 BYU football season? You answer next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
What a show. Welcome back with our question of the day. What is your boldest guarantee about the 2025 BYU football season? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory. From at BYU Coug 24_7 on X says, I guarantee, I'm reading it how they wrote it, BYU makes the conference championship game and is one of the two teams from the Big 12 to make the college football playoff.
We'd all welcome that. Let's go, baby.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Huge game for women's soccer tomorrow night. Number 19 BYU, number 4 UCLA coming in here at 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Pack the stands at Southfield for Jerem. I'm Spencer. Shout-out to Levi Madrietta.
Nice.
Go Cougs! Football is back tomorrow!
Armageddon!